Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Science and the Solar Eclipse. I'm your host, Gordon Dixon. Thanks again for joining us today. We have been discussing the connection between science and the solar eclipse, and we're talking to Dr. George Matsko. Dr. Matsko, thank you very much for joining us again today on the broadcast.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
We've heard so many interesting things already about the sun and about light and the stars. So what is it about a solar eclipse? Why has a solar eclipse been described as the perfect laboratory to better understand the sun and the moon and the stars?
There's several reasons. There's some unique observational opportunities. Of course, during a solar eclipse, the moon's passing between the Earth and the sun, blocks out the sun's light, creates temporary darkness during the daytime. This allows astronomers and researchers to observe the sun's corona, which is normally difficult to see because of the sun's intense brightness. When we study the corona, the outer atmosphere of the sun, it shows as a faint, pearly white halo surrounding the obscured solar disk. And so it helps scientists understand its structure, its dynamics, its temperature variations, gives us crucial insights into the sun's behavior and its impact on space weather. Some of that space weather comes from coronal mass ejections. We call them CMEs. And we can see those as well. There happens to be a burst of solar wind, magnetic fields ejected from the sun's corona into space. We can actually see those during a solar eclipse without, special equipment right here on the Earth. These are dangerous. They can have implications for satellites and communication systems, power grids on the Earth. I used to look at the space weather every day, and I would notice that when there was a CME, often it coincided with the computers for airline computers breaking down and going offline. And I never saw anything in the news about that, but it seemed to be more than just a coincidence. But sometimes when computer systems are hampered, it could be because we're getting a coronal mass ejection hitting the Earth at the same time. And then there are, of course, alignment of celestial bodies. We'll talk about that more later, I'm sure, as far as looking at the positions and movements of different celestial bodies that can be seen, during the daytime now. And as it's being planned in many places, solar eclipses capture the public attention, provide a unique opportunity for outreach and education about astronomy. And we certainly want to get in on that as far as pointing people to the person who created the sun on day four. The creator God spoke the sun into existence. So people have lots of curiosity about solar eclipses, and they're thinking about, what's going on in the heavens. Maybe they have not in the past. Maybe they've been looking at their phones all the time, and now they're looking up for the first time in a long time. And they can think about the power and wisdom of the creator God.
So it really is that object lesson that we have been focusing on, and it is quite the illustration. Every eye will be able to see it, especially if it's a sunny day, be able to see what is happening. And so give us a little bit more on that, if you don't mind. You mentioned that the Lord is the creator, and we know that in John chapter 1 it talks about without him, without Christ, was not anything made that was made, that he's the creator. How does a solar eclipse help us to understand God's glory or his unique excellence and the way he has provided for us?
One thing that the Psalm 19 talks about is the fact that the sun communicates without words, of course, but communicates to everybody on the whole earth about the power of and the glory of the Creator. One of the great principles of science is that the law of cause and effect, and the cause is always greater than the effect. And so when you think about the sun being the effect, he realized that the Creator God is greater than the sun, and that shows his glory. Of course, it shows his creativity, and we see the precision and the alignment of the sun, moon, and the earth during eclipse, and that's evidence of God's design and order in the universe. You can maybe, you know, think of it as kind of an analogy or a symbol. We can think of temporary darkness being followed by a return of light, but symbolize themes of redemption, hope, victory over of light over darkness, those kinds of things, if we kind of spiritualized it that way. But the Bible makes it clear that everybody knows something about the Creator God because everybody's seen the sun on the earth. And if they're blind, at least they felt the heat of the sun on their faces. And so, as it says in Romans 1, they are without excuse because they already know something about God through the sun.
And even that passage that you're describing there in Psalm 19 goes on to connect that general revelation of the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament, expanse of the heavens shows his handiwork. It goes on to immediately connect it to the law of the Lord and refers to it converting the soul. It's perfect, converting the soul. So such a fascinating connection that we see there in Psalm 19.
And the Apostle Paul goes on to say, have they not heard? You know, he refers back to Psalm 19, you know, talking about the fact that, that God has revealed himself to man, and he makes that clear.
And I know we talked about this a little bit in a previous broadcast, but thinking about the way the Lord has provided for us in just giving us the spectrum of visible light that we have. You talked a little bit about that in terms of photochemistry.
Yes, just that particular, you know, where the sun puts out most of its energy is what's necessary for sight, of course, but for photosynthesis. So photosynthesis is a quantum mechanical event. It takes parts of the, it absorbs parts of the red part of the spectrum, part of the blue part of the spectrum, and leaves the green in the middle. That's why plants are green. And so God has designed the sun to cause the plants to grow. And of course, we eat the plants and animals eat the plants and we eat the animals and so forth. So we get nutrition from that as well.
And I think you mentioned in a previous broadcast about that color green. And we know just the way that that color affects people in the work I did in drama and acting and things like that. In most stages, you have a green room right next to the stage. They say that green's one of the most relaxing colors around us. So it's just a very helpful color for us to be observing, especially when we're working.
It's the color we see best, and it's the color that's given off by the sun in the greatest amount. And so it's like the same person who created our eyes created the sun. Of course, that's true.
There's even a verse in Proverbs that talks about that. The hearing ear and the seeing eye. I'm trying to remember which order it's in. The seeing eye and the hearing ear, the Lord has made even both of them. And so really interesting connection that way.
Even think about, you know, the color scheme of, you know, we think about the beauty that God has created. I mean, if we, as we look at a pastoral scene with the green grass and the blue sky, it's very pleasing to us. But, you know, what if the sky and the grass were both blue, or if they're both green? That wouldn't be very pleasing at all. Mm-hmm. And so there's this master artist who's given us these pleasing colors. And so that whole question, you know, sometimes kids will ask me, you know, why is the sky blue? And the sky is blue because of all the colors given off by the sun, because of the size of the air molecules, the blue is actually diffused, and we see that blue color diffused from the atmosphere of the sky. And so God designed all that, the color of the grass, the color of the sky. He designed it all as a master artist would, to be pleasing to the human eye.
Mm-hmm. We have just a couple of minutes left on today's broadcast, and we talked about this a little bit before, but could you again describe the chemistry of the sun and how solar eclipses have uniquely contributed to our understanding of that chemistry by observing the light spectrum?
So we're talking about a fusion reaction. It's not, strictly speaking, chemistry. It's, you know, from a chemistry point of view, it's more physics. I would call it physics. But anyway, you have the fusion of hydrogen nuclei, which we call protons, into helium nuclei. And that's the process we call nuclear fusion. And that's what releases the terrific amount of energy in the form of light and heat. So we call that the proton-proton chain reaction. Four hydrogen nuclei or protons combine to form a helium nucleus. That's two protons, two neutrons, releasing two positrons, two neutrinos, and gamma ray photons as byproducts. And so all that has to add up, and it adds up if you look at E equals MC squared. The mass is lost, and energy is released according to that formula. Mm-hmm. And because the speed of light is a really large number, we're talking about terrific amounts of energy from a very small change in mass.
You mentioned in a previous broadcast about the way they recognized this color band. I remember you describing like a black room, and they used a prism to basically refract the sunlight in there. Would you mind describing that to us once again?
So, yes. So if you take the light from the sun and put it through a prism, you'll get, you know, all the colors of the rainbow. What was noticed is that not only do you get the colors of the rainbow, but you actually see what we call line spectra. That is, the elements, the chemical elements in the sun, are actually absorbing some of the continuous spectrum that we would see. And so we get various lines, and these lines are specific to certain atoms. And from that, we can tell what elements, what atoms are actually in the sun based on this line spectra that we can see. Mm. So in order to see that best in the 19th century, they would get a prism, a glass prism, and pass the light through it and put it into a completely black room. They'd even have the walls painted black so that they could see that line spectrum to the best of their ability.
It is so interesting to see how science has developed and people have understood more about the sun through the solar eclipse. It really has been a pleasure today again to talk to Dr. George Matsko here on the broadcast, and we hope that you'll join us again for our next broadcast. Dr. Matsko, thank you again for your time today.
Thank you very much.
These broadcasts are brought to you by LiveServeLead.com. Live, Serve, Lead, helping others succeed.